Welcome to the Fuller Money Audio Commentary. This is David Fuller on Wednesday, the 20th of August, recording at 9:21 p.m. British Summer Time. Now, first, a quick look at the highlights here. In Asia, we had somewhat firmer stock markets due to a very strong rebound by the mainland China indices, which registered upside daily key reversals. European stock markets hemmed and hawed for a bit, but closed mostly with modest gains. And the U.S. market also hemmed and hawed a bit, but closed with modest gains. And hey, even the bank indices rallied in here today. That's not quite fair. They had done well in that short covering rally from mid-July, but more on that sector in a moment. Long-dated government bonds, another day of pluses for bond prices. They've been pretty strong recently. And in terms of currencies, dollars quietly steady, holding most of its gains, although there's some erosion against the resources currencies, although that's not yet decisive. And elsewhere, grains and beans rallied again today. Crude oil seesawed, but closed up a dollar and a half, and natural gas is up a cent and a half as I speak. Okay, or is it up 14 cents? I think it's up 14 cents. All right, now, what's going on here overall? Stock markets, I think this China development is important. Owen and I have both talked about the China leash effect, which had been very negative here recently. Despite little measures, incremental measures, this seems to be China's policy over the last few months slow supply coming onto the market, not cut it off completely, but also to create a somewhat more favorable environment for investors generally. But the big headwind in terms of monetary policy has been the tightening that China introduced to curb inflationary pressures, and they're still somewhat concerned about those, although they have abated. They've abated more quickly in China than elsewhere because China moved more quickly against the inflating of its asset bubbles, mainly stock markets and property markets last year. And also it boosted its food program, which had caused so much of last year's and this year's inflation problems during the first 6 months of 2008. Now, China, if we get an upside follow-through tomorrow, and I suspect we probably will, given that upside key, that would look impressive. But again, that Shanghai Composite Index and also the A-share Index, they need to push back above the 3,000 levels to provide some more emphatic evidence that lows have been reached. But this is a trough area, I believe. They've already come down so far that in terms of long-term investors, people who are willing to look beyond the monetary tightening for inflation, which will be abating over the next few months. And the other factor that, of course, weighed on China and all other stock markets is the psychological pressures associated with the West's credit crisis, the dramatic spike in crude oil, spikes in foods. So the perfect storm, in other words, that I've referred to on so many occasions, that really has caused an understandable loss of confidence in stock markets. But look at the charts, and I've posted them again today, and particularly on a long-term basis, and China is in a region here where I think that one would have to be an end-of-world pessimist not to think that the market should be considerably higher in a few years' time. Will we get a lengthy convalescence? Will there be some other event to frighten people or royal markets for a while longer? Maybe, maybe, but I would back China. I'd also back Vietnam, which has been probably the best performing stock market in the world over the last couple of months. But looking at that Vietnam index, it really needs to hold this move above 500 to avoid a base extension. There's nothing sinister about a base extension. It just delays upside potential. And I think it's a big ask for Vietnam to hold this rally against a nervous background that we see globally today. But the more important point is I think Vietnam is exceedingly attractive on a long-term basis. But hopefully subscribers who are interested in that market would be able to pick it up on the next pullback within that developing base. And India, I've written about that again today. I still think India has, I've written that China has the best economic governance, some of the best economic governance in the world right now. I would say best definitely, except Singapore. Has been the template for China, and Singapore's economic governance remains exemplary. But China, with its authoritarian capitalism, one-party rule, it didn't invent that. It's using the Singapore model, and no doubt it'll take it to even a higher level because it's building on the success that Singapore has already achieved. In other words, standing on the shoulders of Lee Kuan Yew. It was Deng Xiaoping who did that, or started that process. And this current crop of administrators is plenty smart, judging from the developments that we've seen. My biggest concerns about economic governance remain in the West. Now, India. Again, in terms of corporate governance, at least as far as the major international Indian companies are concerned, is India now setting the pace in terms of improved corporate governance standards? That would really be my view. These are skills that were honed over many decades from posts from the shop floor to the boardroom, and also in the civil service across five continents, and a lot of those skills have been taken home and are now helping to develop India, which is at least 15 years behind China in its economic development. But again, some world-class management, some world-class companies, and industries. Leading industries. Okay, let's talk now. So again, I want to just say I want to emphasize these points because there's so much end of the world stuff out there, and I'm not being complacent about the seriousness of the West's credit crisis, the seriousness of the oil price shock. I've described it repeatedly as a perfect storm. But a lot of this has been written to stock market levels. But the key point that I have also emphasized for markets is that we do need to see that shift by central banks from fighting inflation to fighting recession. And we are moving inevitably towards that tipping point, which I wrote about again yesterday. Long-dated government bonds, they're certainly buying into the recession view. And that the fact that they those yields are coming down, bond prices going up, I think will also encourage central banks that inflationary pressures have peaked, as obviously will be the setback in crude oil and the setback in the price of gold. They will want to see that those moves aren't just a brief blip within the long-term trends, and I don't think they are. I think these are big medium-term corrections, and big medium-term corrections can easily last a couple of years, as I've mentioned before. And global deleveraging is certainly helping to achieve that. But the decline in long-dated government bond yields, which will ultimately prove very unsustainable. Now that, but meanwhile, declining long-dated government bond yields is helpful for economies which are fighting recessionary pressures, and it also makes stock markets look a little bit more attractive. So there will be a big switch out there in some future month, possibly before year end, where we, but that's just a guess. I don't know. The charts will show us where suddenly stock markets do better, and the bonds then suffer. On equities, watch those bank indices, because although they were a little bit firmer here today, they have rolled over, as I've mentioned, as we've illustrated previously, and they really do need to break above the earlier highs that we saw this month to indicate an improving rather than deteriorating short-term environment for stock markets. Best thing is to expect a lot of choppy activity here and a lot of nervousness. We're still not out of the fear zone. The animal spirits are still on holiday. Okay, the US dollar. Now, I think this move is overextended. I also maintain that it has put an important floor under the dollar, and that's good news, very good news, I think, for the global economy and also psychologically, since fears of a complete dollar collapse have been paramount from time to time. And that has, at a minimum, been postponed. And meanwhile, though, that the rallies do look overextended, particularly against some of the resources currencies, which were really nailed. Mind you, they'd done terribly well, so having done so well, it's not surprising that they saw some of the bigger corrections. But they're steadying, and it does look to me like we will see this dollar pull back. The dollar is gradually losing upside momentum here, and it will be the extent of that pullback that will tell us a lot more about the medium term. If the dollar, for instance, holds most of its recent gains in a tight consolidation, let alone it then breaks upwards once again to extend the trend, that would be a very impressive show of strength. On the other hand, if it gradually erodes these gains and moves back into its previous trading ranges, then we can expect it to bog down and range within those lower patterns, possibly for quite a lengthy period of time. My hunch is that that's what we will see, but the charts will show us. And some of these commodities, a little oversold, or a lot oversold in the short term. I don't think we'll get more than technical rallies. For natural gas, that's one of the most overextended. Crude oil, steadier here near this 110 level. You can also see on the chart I posted today that it's right near the rising 200-day moving average. So it's not be surprising to see some short covering if anybody's short or some long buying in the market right now. But again, I don't expect more than technical rallies. And That's, I said, ditto the grains. The grains had fallen very, very sharply, became very overextended. They are capable, I think, of perhaps, possibly, a better technical rally than crude oil. Largely because they had had bigger pullbacks, and whereas we have some demand destruction with crude, people still have to eat, and we have even peak oil believers will have to accept that there's not that much, or there are parallels with the current shortage of world supplies of many of these grains. I don't want to belabor that point though. Gold is a whole lot cheaper than crude oil at these levels. You can see that by looking at the gold oil ratio. But again, until the dollar is in retreat, and with global deleveraging going on, and with a realization that those inflation pressures are going to melt away statistically next year, gold, don't be surprised if it is unable to sustain more than a technical rally in here. I think it's got to go through a longer convalescence and establish a new floor. But it too is oversold and has probably bottomed for at least the short term. And I think that's pretty much it. So I'll wrap up there and just say all the very best to all of you.